Oh, we have another visitor or
Aww.
two.
Welcome,
Derek.
Usually we have Josh's cats moseying
Oh,
through.
Rick. Yeah.
I have the windows open. My cats don't care about me today. There's too
Well,
much
here's this
outside
one.
going.
Look at
Aww.
that. Tried to get these guys outside for their stuff and make them tired, and they've got too much energy. So, apologize up front.
Well, if you see a cattail going across my lap, mine likes to pass by every now and then. Okay, let's. And who did Tammy go get? Abraham
Oh,
Lincoln.
me.
Okay, now that all that nonsense is done. Oh, shoot. Let's go ahead and get this show on the road. We'll call the meeting to order. It is, according to my clock, 3:01. And would you do the roll call, please?
Karen Bounds.
Yeah, here.
Tammy Kraus.
Here.
Kevin Latos.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
Josh Short.
Here.
I'm Stacey Bushon. I
I'm Leslie Bender, IHLS.
Okay, we don't have any visitors today. So I assume there's no public comment. Approval of minutes from August 16th, 23. Assume everybody's had a chance to review them. Do we
This
have a motion to?
is Josh. I'll make that motion.
I'll
Thank you.
second.
Do we have a second?
Linda, second.
Thank you. Stacy, would you do roll call, please?
Karen Bounce.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
I heard a tweet from the friend too.
When he said my name, he whistled.
Okay, motion
Oh boy.
carried. Approval of minutes from August 21st. Would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved, Linda.
Linda, thank you. Do we
I'll
have a
second.
second? Tammy?
Sammy, I'll second.
Okay. Stacy, roll call again, please.
Karen Bounce.
Yes.
Tammy Kraus.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Linda McDonald.
Yes.
Josh Short.
Yes.
All righty, moving right along. We're going to the share update.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. The share governance has, after several, actually more than a year of research, has announced that we are at the place, they are at the place where they need to increase member fees effective fiscal year 2025 or starting July 1, 2024. The fee structure that we have remained steady. There's been no change for 4 years. When we implemented the current fee formula, the understanding was that it would be 3 years, and so we were able to stay for a third year at that, an additional year, so it makes 4 years, I'm sorry. And with the new fee proposals, they've developed two different proposals, either regardless of which one would be accepted by the membership. The idea again is that it stay in place for 3 years, so like it, members need the stability and to be able to appreciate or to understand what their budget's going to be from year to year. So keeping it, holding it firm for a period of 3 years is the goal with the next one. Maybe we'll do better than like we have with this one. We've started holding town halls. The first one was today. I didn't attend that one, but I know there's one tomorrow that I am attending, and I think there's a third. And each of them is structured like a regular meeting of the policy, finance and policy committee. So that's a little update about share. Any questions?
How did that meeting go? Did it go well?
I think overall, I think that yes, that it did go well, Josh. Again, I got it secondhand from two people that attended. There was a recognition that one recognition that was expressed was that if a member tried to provide all the services that to their patrons that they get from Share, it would cost them much more.
Yep.
Than the Share membership, even with the proposed increases. There's two different models. The two different models are, one is like kind of like an a la carte menu, like you pay as you go. So there's the Share module. There's the, whether you had acquisitions or telephony, which is telephone notification, which is what Share looks like now. Every time we've added a service, it's another fee that sits separate. With Aspen, though, there's been an expressed desire to try to combine all of it. And so what does the formula look like if everything's bundled into that, whether you do the a la carte or not? So those are the two basic, that's the differences between them. I understand from today's that there is a recording, I haven't listened to it yet, but we had really good attendance. I'm hoping that the rest of the sessions will be good as well. There are libraries that have expressed a concern that the fee is more than they feel that their budget can take. And the committee needs to know that before they take any further steps. They need that feedback, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is the only feedback that they're asking, they'll be asking for. Although I just am not privy to exactly what we're planning. But I think overall it was a positive, like, this is where we are,
mm-hmm.
kind of acknowledgement. Does that answer your question, or do you have others?
No, that covers mine.
Okay, good.
Is there a percentage of what, how much of an increase it is going to be? But district to district, it won't be so the same kind.
Right, it changes. We'd probably want to get that from Cassie. And I was going to ask you if you wanted to give a little update on that at the board meeting, because depending on the model that's accepted, the percentage increase will be less. I don't know that there's an average. Mm-hmm. But I can find out. I can find out what the average increase is, if you would like that, and share it with you all.
I just wondered if you knew.
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And
it is improved. So, I mean, and things have increased in cost and everything, so.
Okay, yeah, that's all I have.
Okay.
Okay, anything else from anybody? Not hearing any, we'll move on to administrative updates, accounting and human resources.
On the accounting side of that office, we're still looking for a senior accountant. And so now that they've lost one of four staff members to another department, I think they're still doing a really good job staying current. It helps that we're past the bulk of the work with the audit. That definitely helps. We don't want to go much longer without a senior accountant. We did make an offer to someone in August, I believe, near the end of August, and it wasn't enough for them. So I don't know if that's what, I don't know what happens next, but we'll see. We'll have to see if that's what we find overall. On the HR side, we've had now four libraries apply for the HR source grant, and we'll let them all know by the end of the month. Jill and her peers statewide have also, you may have seen something like about this in ILA. They've petitioned ILA's board, and ILA has agreed to start the process to see if we can add an additional forum. And that forum would be HR and administration. So just like we have member libraries whose staff that work on HR occasionally need to talk and have a benefit from working together, we thought that a forum statewide might be appropriate. And so we were really happy that ILA jumped at that and is willing to move that forward. That was really responsive on their part. I'm really thrilled by that. So, because not every library, even with our grant, can take advantage of HR Source, but most libraries have HR needs every once in a while, even the smallest do. So hopefully that's meeting member needs. We're hoping that that does. Any questions? Okay.
And go on to IT.
Yes, absolutely. So our new share servers have arrived. And I think we talked about this last time that it was a significant cost. We knew that it would be. We're currently, I think they've scheduled the installation dates for the co-location facility at the University of Illinois. And so that's pretty exciting, and to be able to move forward with that. And then we're going to repurpose the old servers in-house for other services. And then IT is also testing the use of an app called Discord, which some of you might have heard of. It's a chat, has a chat functionality. We're looking to see if that can be a replacement for the software we currently use for the director's chat on Thursdays, which is Adobe Connect. That's the software we've used. What we also hope is that it will allow us to have more specialized member chat groups, so that are easier to manage. So fingers crossed we go forward with that. In broadband news, you may have seen that the state has published at least the first of its draft reports for how they intend to increase services to residents statewide, and that we're expecting anytime in September that they will be seeking comment from citizens, because there's going to be a really short window for that public comment period. We're drafting a response on behalf of our organization that I would share with you all before we would post that, along with tips and suggestions if members want to give public comment, because the more visible we are, like we've learned this now through other departments, like when there have been changes, programmatic changes in like Board of Education, right? ISBE, sorry. The more vocal we are, the more notice libraries get in that overall product. So we're kind of applying the same, not a blunt instrument approach, but like just making sure that information
squeaky wheel.
Is readily available. A what?
Squeaky wheel.
Squeaky wheel, exactly. So we're super excited. Yeah, we're super excited about that. Also, late last week, the Secretary of State's office sent to public libraries the Illinois Public Library Internet Survey. It is rather complete. It talks about it's first of all, it was put together with the help of Troy Brown and from IHLS and Ann Slaughter from Rails, and Anna Clausen, who is works kind of between the Secretary of State's office and the State Library. And we were really thrilled that they like wanted our help and wanted our input. And it's also very thorough. And also they use words like must, not might, that you must, every library must do this and you must. So like that's using government, right, to get that information. So I suspect at some point we'll be involved in terms of contacting our members to make sure they've got, you know, that they understand that piece as well. But just the fact that we are here with this survey and that they were willing to do this just speaks volumes. So, and one more piece. Troy and Ann Slaughter are going to present at ILA on Wednesday at the President's program, or it's the general membership meeting, and then there's a speaker, a featured presenter. But we're going to be there to talk about what broadband needs are, just to get that, you know, because you have to hear something 30 sometimes or more, right, before you act sometimes. They're going to be presenting based on the information that we've put together between Heartland, Illinois Heartland Library System, Rails, and Carly We called it the four pillars. They're going to be presenting that information in general about where we see libraries fitting into this, and more importantly on our end, how are we applying for which type of grant, right, based on our staffing and our staffing levels and our member needs. So just trying to get that word out there so that people are more aware of it. Also on the agenda is the Secretary of State. So I think that's good. I think mm-hmm. we're getting his attention, and that's what we want. So yeah. That's IT. Any questions? Okay. Facilities and operations? Shall we go there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Let's go there. All right. So the parapets in the building need some work. And the parapet, because we have a flat roof, it's not a good drawing, but the roof goes like this, and then there's the sides of the building, walls that kind of go up beyond that. That's the parapet, right? There's a new word called a scupper. Not a brand new word, but kind of like, it's every time I'm like, can we have the IHLS scupper team? But it's not. A scupper is what drains from the air conditioning vents, I think, through down like to the whatever that thing is called now, I've just blanked, your gutters on the side of your building. So the scuppers are too tall, and so the water is not draining. It's sitting on the roof, on the new roof. So the scuppers have to be adjusted down so that the water drains down. So we have to have a masonry company come and do that. And that we found one. And right person in the job finds the right people to help us, I think. And once that's completed, I mean, it will involve the masonry firm and also the roofing company, because they have to take the parapets were covered. They have to remove the cover, do whatever they have to do on the masonry side. Then the roofing people put the cover back on, and then we're good. So that should take care of the remaining issues we have with water pooling on the east side of our brand new roof. So, but that's okay. We're getting there. We're really getting there.
As long as it's not leaking in.
That's what's happened. We've seen uh-huh. water in various places. Yeah, on the tiles. So you can tell in the second floor that there's like a tile spot in this office. And it's just here and there, and it doesn't necessarily seem to be right under where the water is pooling.
Huh. So it never is. It always runs someplace else.
Yes. So we're pretty hopeful that that will resolve the issue. But it's not pouring in. It's leaking in. So
seeping.
Yeah, that's much better than where we were, huh?
But the roofing company didn't realize that. What did you call that? A supper or a
scupper? Apparently, no.
S-U-P-P-E-R, supper?
S-U-P-P-E-R, scuppers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cupper with an S, I guess, at the beginning. So they did not realize that, and they are not charging us for their part in this work.
Okay.
I hope they're not.
Right. So I think that's okay. That's all right.
Good.
So that's really where we are right now with facilities and operations.
Okay, membership and grants.
Yes. So you can tell I've got notes. I've had these notes for a while. On August the 30th, we previewed the iLead Trustee Training Portal for staff at the Illinois State Library, and they are currently reviewing the content. So we wanted to kind of walk them through what it looks like and what we've got there, and what the thought process and what modules we put up what year. They're currently kind of reviewing that content as well with fine-tooth comb. We're also working with Leanne's been meeting, and Anna have been meeting with Phil and Zini to make sure that the legal pieces are right as well. We're going to have a soft launch on October 26th, which is the Thursday of the ILA conference. That's the trustee day at ILA. And Anna is also presenting about this platform at the Association for Rural and Small Library Conference in 2 weeks. So in a week. We're leaving in a week. I'm so sorry. In a week. So it's getting a lot of attention, but so far we've gotten really good feedback and really constructive comments, like when we met with the State Library about things they'd like to see. And so I think it's going to be a really useful tool going forward. So we're hopeful. That's Let's see. I feel like there's something about school libraries. Yes, there is something about school libraries. The Illinois School Library Worker Symposium, which is scheduled for September 20th. It's an online, it's like a one-day session. It's geared at folks that are not necessarily certified to work in school libraries, that to help them. We had about 300 registrants, and this is the first time we've had it, so it's huge. And by contrast, at that time when we had that number, the IELTS conference had about one third. IELTS now grown obviously beyond that, but like a 3-to-1 difference is probably not a good thing for IELTS, right? We need more people to go to IELTS as well. So but I think that that speaks to the need for this training. And that's Leah Gregory on our from our staff and Dan Bostrom from Rails that are putting that, coordinating all of that training. So we're excited about that as well. We're also opening, the opening of IELTS is going to be, IELTS asked the systems if we wouldn't mind having like a breakout, right, the very first session. So that like Rails members, me with the Rails staff, IELTS, you know, IHLS members. So like to have that much visibility at IELTS, I think is really good too. And I think it does, it is because of the work that we're doing in that space and it's being validated. And one more piece, we have this IELTS partnership that meets, it's ILA, it's Carly sometimes, IHLS Rails, State Library, Jeanette DeRookie and Leah from Rails and Leah Gregory put together a one pager that's going to go to superintendents through their whatever, through ISBE somehow. There's somebody from ISBE that's going to that meeting now. And she's like, if you can get a data sheet together, I'll make sure it gets distributed. So they did. Looks pretty good. So it just takes time. That's about it on membership.
Okay, administration.
A lot, I'm sorry. At the end of August, actually the 28th and the 29th, we had our first ever IHLS and Rails staff meeting at the State Library. It was key staff, so some it was directors or managers of projects. We met, we learned a lot from our peers, and I feel like it's helped to further cement the working relationship that we have with them. So I think it will only bring good things for our members.
That's neat. You didn't get with the Chicago bunch?
No, we did not. That's a good point. Monica and I wanted to start just talking with just our staff because we aren't even apples to apples. So I think it would be beneficial at some point to meet with the Chicago staff as well, but we haven't done that. And they've not been as visible under their current administration. That's not bad. He's just busy in other things. So
do you have a date you're meeting next?
We thought about doing this every other year with the Rails and IHLS staff. Probably every other year, we're going to try to organize a get together, a casual get together at ILA with our staff because they like hanging out with each other. And we also are looking at a still possibility of a joint Heartland Rails meeting, system meeting, board meeting in April. We just have to find a place big enough because when we did it before, we didn't have enough room. And we're going to have the same situation next year. So we're looking at spots for that now. That's okay, promise I'm done.
Any other questions?
No, very
good. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Moving on to Open Meetings Act compliance. I can't read. We have anything on that? Hearing nothing. We'll go to committee updates. Advocacy is not scheduled to meet this month. Budget and finance met yesterday. Kevin, you want to?
Yes. Yes, we met yesterday afternoon. Did the usual forwarding the bills and the finance report on to the regular board meeting. Spent probably most of it with the auditor talking to us about the financial statements. which is really, really good. I see it's on the agenda later, so I won't go into that too much. Okay. We'll leave it for there.
All right. Thank you. Facilities and operations meet after this meeting.
Yes.
Oh.
Membership and policy, where you'll talk about those scuppers, no doubt. membership and policy.
We
already met. So, Linda?
We tabled the public comment policy and discussed the e-meeting policy reviewed it. And Ellen went through it real well with us. And I think that counted as the first read.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to figure a couple of parts that needed to be cleared with Linzini, I think. And those are the two things we did. We do have Jeff. Is it called Jeff or Geff? And Smithton, huh?
It's Geff.
Geff. Okay. That we have two new members, and that's all that we did.
Thank you. Personnel will meet the 14th. Moving on to unfinished business. Fiscal year 2024 annual meeting.
Thank you. So that meeting is shaping up. We have in our 2-hour annual meeting beginning at 3 on October 31st, we now have 4 different presentations. The first is Representative Katie Stewart. She's, I think she actually lives in Edwardsville. She represents Edwardsville, Collinsville. She's an Illinois rep. Edwardsville, Collinsville, Glencarvan, maybe Maryville. And then we have Jill Piper from Fairview Heights Public Library is going to talk about Illinois Libraries Present, that cooperative program that's statewide. And I think they're going to win something maybe at ILA. And then we also have folks from the children's librarian and maybe the director from the Glencarvan Public Library talking about how they weathered the censorship storm related to Pride Month programming. I think they're winning an ILA award. And then the last is Anna Yackel and Leanne Kirby are going to give you all just a short intro preview of the ILA trustee training portal, which was done live the week prior. So it's busy. Stacey Bouchon and her team are putting together quite the program.
Mm. Okay.
I promise we won't make you dress up in a costume.
That's right.
What if we come in one anyway?
We won't turn you away.
On the 31st, you're talking about, right?
Yes. Okay, let me find where I am on this agenda. Fiscal year 2023 audited financial statements draft. Attachment 11.1.
Okay, so as Kevin,
yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. As Kevin mentioned, the audit manager, Alex Hoffman, was at the finance committee meeting yesterday. So what I normally do when we get to this place at the executive committee is just to kind of go over the highlights that he presented. And basically it follows, I think it's called the auditor's, what's that document called? The auditor's report. It's like I kind of think of it as a cheat sheet. Audit report presentation is what they call it. So are you okay with me? I know two of you were there yesterday. Are you okay with me kind of going over it? I promise not to be long-winded.
Be
okay.
Brief.
Yes, ma'am. I gotcha. All right. So first of all, he, Alex, stressed that the opinion is unmodified, which is a clean opinion, which is where we want to be, means that our financial statements are presented fairly in all aspects. He does not, it's considered a draft right now. He doesn't expect many changes. The only thing that we're waiting for, the only piece of information from the version that you have now to, let's say the version that you have before the board meeting, is the workers' comp audit, which has been delayed. So we're expecting it any day. And so hopefully we will get it in time to adjust. If not, then I think it feeds into the next year's audit instead. There was on pages in the audit itself, when you look at the government-wide statements, the financial statements, it basically lays out where we are, where we were at the beginning of the year. And then our net position was $13,419,590. There was a overall change of position of approximately $227,000, which brings the net position at the end of the year across the government funds is $13,192,292. So it's where, when we get to the balance sheet, that you can see where the differences are. And if you're looking in the audit, that's on page 19. So highlights from that point are that the general fund and it was at the end of the fiscal year, 30 June, at more than $5.4 million. And when we compare that to 2022, a year ago, that's an increase of $510,928. So that's due to the change in the funding level of the Erring per capita grant. There was an approximate $500,000 increase, even though in the, you know, population wise in the census, we didn't increase. So happy to have that. Definitely happy, and that makes a difference. Another place where you see a change is from the capital projects fund. It was at $945,000 in 2023. At $1.4 million in 2022. So the decrease of $471,000 is due to three significant things. Seven vehicles were purchased in the fiscal year. We purchased a new server. And the roof was replaced in Edwardsville. And then when you look at a statement of revenues for the general fund, there's a net income to the general fund of $423,703, which is, again, more than $500,000 improved from this time last year. Kevin, stop me if I'm not hitting what you want me to cover. The CMC funding level went up, so that was a positive change. That's because the three staffers that are remote, completely remote, originally, when they first started with us in FY22, they were under part of SHARE. In FY23, we moved them to the CMC grant fund. So that's where the change is reflected, or what the change reflects. Slight increase in capital fund. Slight decrease in the capital fund overall, and that's due again to the purchase of the vehicles, the replacement of the roof, and the server that we purchased in that fiscal year. And let's see, and then everything else is there's a change in with non-major funds, which would be the special revenue funds, that's OCLC and CMC and the trustee training grant, that changed by a significant amount of money, $167,000, because that $167,000 increase is from last year is the includes the trustee training grant. There was one note in the audit, and that is the note that we commonly get in the audit. And that is the piece about the fact that we do not do our own financial statements, meaning our own audits, our own 30 June statements. Those are done by a CPA firm. So that will appear in the documentation that you see.
Let's see if it's in the last page, isn't it?
It is. Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry. I did not turn my page. Yes. And then the
their there are some new accounting procedures or announcements that they had to make, and that don't affect us this year. That has to do with subscription-based technology. That's a requirement for that type of service. I don't know if it will affect us in the future, because a lot of our tech services are moving to that subscription model anyway, which is okay, good for those companies, but not good for people that are purchasing those services necessarily. It's just getting more expensive overall. There's a note regarding their notes and information regarding the defined benefit pension plan, or IMRF, and our liabilities with that. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Was that fast enough?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Okay. I'm so glad you liked it. Okay.
Actually, the guy yesterday didn't go on ad nauseum either. I didn't think.
He's a different person. No. Different presenter.
I didn't think so either. It was a lot shorter than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he, at the board meeting, Alex's boss will be there, and he was.
So it may be more wordy. Is that what you're saying?
I think it will be more wordy, but he also was. He's worked with our. Although Alex has been on our audits, I think this is, he hasn't always been the manager. And so, sure. Yeah, we may have a little more words, but also more understanding of our organization. So hopefully it will be good.
Good. Hopefully thank you.
We'll be happy.
Sounds like it.
All righty. Going on to meetings via electronic means policy update, first read, attachment 11.2.
Great. So this is not, and what's on the screen, what Stacy's put up now, is not an attachment for you. I didn't think you needed to see all this, like how we try to figure out when we're getting what policy through. But I didn't reference this policy review schedule, and I believe I've shared it with you, Karen, by email at one point.
If I can move my screen, I'll look.
Oh, okay.
That's if I can move my screen. Never mind. Go on.
Okay. So there's several things that are going to be happening within the next 4 or 5 months. And several of those policies have to do with, or the changes are necessitated by meeting again in person, right? That's wrought a lot of changes, but all good changes, I think. We need to do some clarifications. So the first policy, which we're going to talk about in a sec, is the meetings via electronic means. So went to policy and membership, and it'll go in the executive committee. Those are the committees that would be taking a look at that primarily. The first read is this month, and then we hope that the second read and the subsequent approval happens in October. Then the next following that, also related to OMA, Open Meetings Act, is the public comment policy. That's what we started in the spring, and then Linda mentioned that the committee tabled it, and so then we're going to take it up again once we've kind of gotten our head around what needs to change in the meetings via electronic means policy. So that would be presented as a first read in October, and hopefully approval in November. Again, that's the policy membership and the executive committees. Then, not to be left out, are personnel issues. And so we've got policy related updates in the staff handbook that will follow some things related to the Open Meetings Act. Those will appear in October at personnel and executive. And then that's the first read October. We hope that November is the second read. We also will have legal updates that we are going to be placing in front of the personnel and executive committees in November. And the legal updates will have already, there are things we have no control over, PLAW and all those things that are happening. A lot of laws in the state will change January 1, 2024. So in the past, we've not had a second read because none of us are attorneys. That's why we have attorneys. We just have to do those. Those are just things as a matter of course. And then to wrap it all up, in 2023, we'll start looking at the bylaws in November. That is going to the executive committee only, because it is in the bylaws that the executive committee reviews the bylaws. And
hopefully that will get a second read in January, since the board currently does not have a meeting scheduled for the fourth Tuesday in December or any other Tuesday in December. We generally take December off. Just thought it might be helpful for your committee anyway to see how we put this together. And if you have no idea how many times in an hour early one morning last week between Stacy, Ellen, Jill, and I, and Rhonda, we changed this table. So just want you to know.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
Like
you did send me that table, by the way. I had seen it.
Okay, good. All righty. So I hope that that's, I mean, there is a plan to get through all of this without killing everybody. overwhelming you, you know what I mean? With just too much to consider every meeting. So,
right.
Hopefully this will make sense. And then new fun things will happen after that. Probably new other things will happen. So as Linda referenced, the committee, the policy and membership committee looked at this draft revision of meetings via electronic means. So for Linda and Karen, who were at that meeting, I can do the Ellen, we can do the Ellen piece and do by colors, because there's so many changes. They have colors, multiple colors. I don't know that we're going to do it that way for the board. But will that be okay to kind of explain it to you, or yes, how would you prefer we do this?
Whatever is easiest for you.
Okay. Yeah. So let me, you know what? I need one more document. So sorry. Let me just look in the pile from yesterday.
And how deep is it? 3 feet?
No, it is not. It's probably, what do you think, Stacy? About 6 inches on the right to my desk where I just throw everything.
No, it's not bad.
No, no.
Possibly.
I need a key. I didn't have the key to the colors. So now I have the key to the colors. Would you like us to put it up on the screen, or are you all looking at it on your own? I can do whatever.
I liked having it on the screen if it, you know, because it's easier to.
Okay, on the screen.
Yeah, if you can do it. It's.
Stacy, can you grab that one?
I'm sorry, which one am I grabbing?
They were the
color coded one.
The one that explains the yellow and red and
electronic means policy.
Oh, gotcha. Let's see.
11.2. It went separately from everything else, if that helps.
La 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 la. Oh, I don't have it in there. Hang on, I'll get it.
Okay. And as Stacy's getting that, I just want to let you know that there were several things that came up in the committee meeting. There were several questions, as Linda mentioned. Ellen wrote back to Phil and I based on that meeting, and she got feedback. So I do have feedback from him about all of those things, if there's any, if we want the legal interpretation or
Stacy, I didn't get this attachment.
Separately?
John? Yeah, I didn't get it. I don't have it.
Okay. Does everybody else have it? Kevin, do you have
so it? It's not only me. I'm feverishly looking for it, and I'm like, it wasn't in the packet.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Seemed like right before membership and policy were going to meet, I got it about a...
We're really sorry.
Before. Yeah.
It's
so you're
okay.
Almost on the same page as membership and
that's
policy.
That's okay. We got it, and yesterday. That was our first read anyway, so.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Let me try to find it here.
Well, that's okay if you want to just.
No, we need. That
people
need
didn't
to
get a chance to see it, but.
Yeah. I can find it from you, Stacy, but.
I don't know why I don't have it in there. I've got too many things open here.
Okay. I have it. I will just forward it.
I'm so sorry, guys.
It's okay. You're going to get it right now. Do you need me to open it up for this meeting, Stacy?
No. As soon as I get it from you, I can do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. All righty. Through the miracle of technology, there it goes. Okay.
You should see it soon. So okay. As Ellen was preparing this, she actually, I know you guys didn't talk about this at the meeting yesterday, but she did, in trying to anticipate questions that you may have from this. And again, several of you haven't seen this. We have four, she looked at where all our board members are compared to like what is the closest location for them as a public location to attend the meeting. We have four members who have to travel over 40 miles. A couple of you are in this meeting. I think that would include Kevin, that includes Tammy. Karen, I don't think you were quite at...
No, mine would be about 30 miles.
Yeah, so relatively speaking, but like almost a third of the board has to travel a significant distance to get to a public meeting location. So there's that awareness and that we want to make sure that equity is represented in the policy change itself.
I'm sorry, guys. It's telling me it has to check and make sure it's safe.
Okay.
I'm waiting for it.
Let me, you know what, Stacey? I have it in downloads. And I did have it open yesterday. So why don't I do that? Okay.
All righty.
I don't get back to the Zoom. Okay. Wait a minute. Thank you for your patience. Share my screen. Okay. Good with that. And there it is. Hopefully, if it's not big enough, I can make it a little bigger if you need it. On this
screen. Yeah, you need to make it bigger.
Okay, please. Not a problem. Yep, not a problem. A little more?
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
All right, so Ellen chose three colors for her changes. So the first one, and they all have a different meaning. So the section that are in blue is new language. So new, it came from our library laws and then also suggestions from Phil Lindsay. So the first time we see that in the document is in number three. And this talks about a quorum of members of public body must be physically present in a location of a meeting. This comes from the Open Meetings Act primarily, and defines that piece. Then the second place that we see blue for new is near the very end. Sorry, I'm scrolling really fast. The very end. And so this has to do with the fact that any open meeting has to include a component of public comment, and that this is an acknowledgement of that. And it also speaks to the attendance for people giving public comment via electronic means. So that's basically what that addition refers to. The second type of changes are those that are in yellow, and Ellen highlighted those because they're things that we have to consider. We feel like we need to consider moving forward. These are things that we aren't necessarily haven't done because of COVID. So in the first piece, that's about the meeting needing to meet in public, and that the votes, individuals' votes are going to be recorded as being done via electronic attendance. We do that, and we've done that in the past. The second is under number five. And this is a statement that board or committee members who attend to meet by video or audio conference must provide a notice to the executive assistant. That's Stacy, because we don't really use a recording secretary. So we wanted to be more current at least 24 hours prior to the meeting, unless advance notice is not practicable. It's the second thing to point out. Third is once we are informed that members are going to attend electronically, we need to publish agendas from that. Every time we'd have to update the agenda from that point that indicate that one or more members will be attending by electronic means. Another one is an eight, members who were either present or absent from the meeting, and whether those members
are physically present or present by audio or video conference or another means has to be included in the meeting minutes. That goes along with the recording the votes. Mm-hmm. And then in section 9A, has to do with technology. So if the video conferencing equipment should fail, we have to be available for speakerphones. This is where LA went down the rabbit hole with Phil about whether speakerphones is really legal. And Phil's mm-hmm. like, don't change it. Just leave it. Don't change the wording, because you can make your cell phone be it has a speaker function. And we don't have to go there for the policy. And then again, there's another piece about closed meetings, closed versions of meetings, if the video conferencing equipment fails, that we're going to move to speakerphone. So luckily we've not done that in many years at a system meeting, and hopefully we mm-hmm. won't have to going forward. Number 11 has to do with motions, and that the chair of that meeting will check the connection with remote locations with system members prior to closing just the discussion and taking any vote. They'll make sure that everybody has made their additional comments if they wanted those made. I think that might be all of the yellow or for your information changes. And then the next are red. And these are the changes that have to do with things that we believe we need to be added to this document and for further clarification. And these are all based on feedback with Phil. Okay, so number 6 is the one that engendered a lot of conversation at yesterday's policy and membership committee meeting. And that's what are the reasons behind, or what permits a member to attend via remotely. So Phil's suggestions are the ones that are bulleted. Those are the same that are in the recently updated version of the Open Meetings Act. So the 4 reasons for which under the Open Meetings Act where an employer could, member could attend remotely. And so there was quite a bit of conversation about this piece and in the policy meeting. And I realized we have another meeting starting in 8 minutes. So I'll go even faster. Yeah. So there was conversation there about that piece. I'd like to suggest to you all is that so that we can get to the next piece on the agenda, that I can like share with you the feedback from that meeting from the committee and then what Phil had to say in an email. Would that be sufficient? So we can move on. Okay. I only saw Kevin nod his head, so I'm hoping everybody else is with Kevin. Okay. Yep. Alrighty. Thank you. And then thank you, Josh. You reminded us that we sometimes have related to open meetings, like we are now under the 11.3, I think, on the agenda. Which I think that's what it is. Anyway, that when we have had hires in between board. Did you all get this attachment? Because if you didn't, I'm just going to cry.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Thank you. So I wanted to put a memo together to you all before we share it with the board as a whole. This is based on a conversation I had with Phil, a very long conversation that I had with Phil a couple Fridays ago. And I've included why we are where we are now, what we're currently doing with the workflow of hiring and where that board approval falls in that flow. And then what we recommend going forward so that we do not get to a place where we are having meetings, where we're having special meetings just to approve a hire. So, but I want to be really clear that none of this is intended to take away the responsibility that you have as board members, your statutory responsibility in 75 ILCS 10/6 section 5 or subsection 5, which reads to appoint and to fix the compensation of this is under your responsibilities, the compensation of a competent librarian who shall have the authority to hire, such other employees as may be necessary to fix their compensation and to remove such appointees, subject to the approval of the board. So that piece, the subject to the approval of the board, is why we got to the non-binding opinion from the Secretary of State's, the Attorney General many years ago, why we made a modification to how we do this. And that when I had a conversation when Phil and I talked, the way he explained it to me is that approval piece, I'm going to stop sharing. I realize I can't see anybody's face. That approval piece is not a given linear process. It's not a you make an offer, we make an offer to somebody, then it goes to the board approves, and then we bring them on. It can be we make an offer to somebody, we do all the background checks before we inform you. We bring them on, and then at the very next board meeting, you're approving that hire. So it's still, it's not taking away that authority, but I don't know where you all are at regarding that piece.
Personally, like, at least my thought, because how it is at my board here, like, you can hire whoever you want. Like, it shouldn't, it's not really up to, I know, like, the Attorney General, like, said, oh, you got to do this, but, like, I don't think that's true. You're our only employee, so you're the only person we should be actually be hiring. When it comes to the staffing, you guys are going to make the best person. Like, you're going to pick them, not, like, you bring it to us, but, like, that would save us, you know, a few minutes out of our board meeting to not have to do that. Like, it's, I think it could go a lot better if we didn't have to do it.
Okay.
I agree. And another boards, such as our school board, that it was more of a notification process. Mm-hmm. You know, the superintendent had the authority because we hired her and trusted her. To actually make the hires and fires and all that stuff. And the agenda item was informational for the board. One of the things with that is we did get into trouble once where she had hired somebody, they'd moved into their office, brought it to the board, and a few people on the board decided that, no, they didn't like it, and that became a very uncomfortable situation.
I'm gonna duck out so I can go to the other meeting with Tammy. You guys still have a quorum, so you're good. Like, one person's gonna throw a fit about this if we go to that. But I've talked about it with Ryan Johnson the last couple of years. Like, we don't need to be doing this because it doesn't fall under our sphere purview of influence. Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's my piece. I'm going to drop out and go to the other meeting. So,
okay. Catch you there sometime.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Josh.
Okay.
I feel the same way. I think that you do all the background work anyway, and we have nothing to do with that. And you recruit the people and have the best interest of IHLS. And know what is required. And I don't see any. I was really surprised that, you know, we had to approve so many employee, you know, that was a surprise.
Part of the kickback will come from the fact that we have been doing this and it's a change. And we have someone who tends to try to be a control freak. And it isn't necessary. As Josh said, you, Leslie, are our employee, and you're the one that we have to deal with, so to speak. And we really shouldn't be. We should just be acknowledging that the hiring right. has been done, or the right. firing has been done, as the case may be.
I mean, in a business situation, you know, the CEO doesn't get involved in approving hires and fires and all that stuff. It's the manager and possibly the next manager up. But, you know, to try to come, and that's what we really act as a board at that level. I don't particularly like it that we do it. I mean, I think it's just unnecessary. If we didn't like who you were hiring, Leslie, then we deal with you.
Okay.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah, because we apparently can't trust you to make good hires, and that's going to show up. So, I don't see that happening, but...
No, but that's just something that takes up the time of the board that is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are in the... Leslie, you are in the best position to make the decisions right. as to who will fit and who has the qualifications and so forth. Right. So as far as I am concerned, it can be informational.
Okay.
If that makes any difference.
I appreciate that. I wanted to share this with you and then share it with the board so that it'll be in the board packet. It'll be included in the board packet so that I don't want to change that procedure without informing anybody or having some opportunity for discussion.
Oh, of course not.
So, but this will make our life a whole lot easier in terms of trying to schedule interviews around board meetings too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, but that's okay. I mean, that's what we agreed to do that. And many years ago, but I there will be a collective sigh of relief from the folks that I work with every day. Mm-hmm. So that would be a good thing from their perspective. So thank you for that feedback. And then I think the next piece is just a reminder is the nominating committee. Just a reminder that we're almost there. Talked about other things we're going to do besides policies in the next couple of months. And the FY 2025 nominating committee, because of the challenges that committee's had over the years, we'd really like to start that in October. So I would be getting you a lot of information to give you, Karen, but not yet on this and to help.
Thanks.
yeah, with recommendations of people to be on that committee.
Okay, good.
That's what it would be. And we always have a little bit of overlap from one year to the next. So, and the positions that we have open, in case you're curious, in that will be open as of July 1 next year, are two public library trustee representatives. One is Ann Chandler, and she can serve for a second three-year term. The second is Kevin. He can also serve for another three-year term before he'd have to step off the board, wait 2 years, and then go back again. And then not that we're telling you to do that, but it would be nice if you did. The next as a public library representative, that's Ryan Johnson's position. So that is open. For a second three-year term. Jenna Griffith's school library position is open for a second three-year term. And then Tammy Krause was appointed. So she's technically will have been on our board 5 years. She could serve, but only 1 year of her term if she wished to run again. That's up to her. And then we would have to appoint for that remaining 2 years. So that's what's on, that will be on offer as far as looking for people whose positions may need to be refilled. Are filled. So just wanted to make you aware of that. And then okay. There's the agenda for September. And I didn't say this earlier, but I just wanted to preface with the, like, because we're needing to get that input from board members about how you're attending or where you're attending. And in case anything changes, I know we have the locations selected that we have selected. We're going to, as much as possible, get that agenda out to you 7 days before the meeting agenda, and as much of the packet is ready. Not all of the packet will always be ready 7 days before. We're working really hard to internally to change our reporting times for pieces of the packet so that there will be more lead time with as much of it as possible. Okay. So the agenda is that the beginning of the September agenda is we board meeting agenda after we have the roll call and consent agenda pieces. We have the auditors are there in person. So we're going to have them do their report. And then because it's part of the annual report anyway, then we'll also have the narrative. I don't know exactly when you're going to be getting access to it, but hopefully sometime next week, you'll have access to that. And then
We'll also talk about the components. Those are those tables that we are obligated to provide by law, but we do not ask you to approve them because I don't think you even know what our VIN numbers are for our vehicles. So, I mean, that's the kind of minutia that those reports include, but we want you to see that entire annual report. Then the open meeting and FOIA updates, public comment, if we have any, the Illinois State Library report. And then for communication, we have three. The first is, so there's a grant from that an organization called the Illinois Fire Service Institute. They're out of University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. They have an IMLS, an Institute of Museum and Library Services grant, and the title describes what they're doing, Libraries as Partners for Emergency Preparedness and Response in Times of Crisis in Illinois. So I was asked and I agreed to serve as a grant, a statewide co-chair or something for this, for their advisory committee. And Dr. Leon Ruin, who is the director of the library at the Fire Service Institute, and they're also one of our members, asked if she could get a presentation at one of our board meetings, and I said yes. So she promises it's 5 minutes, and I'll see her presentation on Friday. Hopefully it really will only be 5 minutes. And we'll go from there. The second is Leah's going to talk about the outcome of the Illinois School Library Workers Symposium. That's where we had about 300 people. We'll see what that feedback is because that's the 20th of September. And then Stacy has an overview, like a board learning section called the board intranet. I think I should say board learning first. So there's that. We'll have the personnel pieces. And then committee reports and partner reports. For unfinished business right now, the only thing we have is just an update on the FY 2024 annual meeting. Then under new business, there's the hiring procedure. That's that memo discussion. The first read of the meetings via electronic means policy update. Information about the 2025 nominating committee, FY 2025 nominating, and then agenda building. And that's a lot.
Wow.
I think. A lot at the beginning and at the end, conversation-wise. So if you think of things that you want added or that you see, if you would let me know or let Karen know and she can let me know, that would be terrific. Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Then
go ahead.
No public comment. I was going to tell you we have no public comment yet.
We have no announcements either, other than be checking your email for those pieces they're supposed to be sending us. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm now going to facilities.
Me too.
Oh, gosh.